Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Let us pray, my friends. Father, we thank you this morning, and we are blessed to be here, as always. We will never cease to thank you for this beautiful church, the Shepherd's Fold Restoration family, that we are a part of. We recognize, oh God, that it is not an accident that has brought us here and made us a part of this wonderful church family. Whenever we gather like this, we feel so blessed. And especially at a time like this, when your word is about to come forth, we know that we have an opportunity to receive more wisdom, more knowledge, and guidance for our lives. Because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word says that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. I pray in the name of Jesus that you prepare our hearts. Holy Spirit, we always need you in times like this. Touch everyone listening to me. May all of us be blessed by the word of God today. I commit myself into your hands. I pray, Father, use me, please, for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, let the people of God say, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus, and you may be seated. God bless you. All right. This morning, I want to start a new series. I'm not too certain how long the series will run for, but I believe that, as always, we will be blessed. Amen. And the title of my sermon is, Don't Get Used to It, Don't Accept It. Don't get used to it, don't accept it. Do you have that? Don't get used to it, don't accept it. So tell somebody sitting by you, tell the person, please. The pastor says, don't get used to it. Don't accept it. Can you deliver the same message to two other people for me now? Some of you have done only two. You've done only two. Are there 1, 2, 3? Munim kai. All right. So if you get home today and somebody asks you, what did Pastor preach about today? What will your response be? So if they ask you that, what shouldn't you get used to? What will your answer be? You are waiting to know. That's a very good answer. Hallelujah. All right, so turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we want to read from verse 1 to 12. First Corinthians chapter 10, and we are reading from verse 1 to 12. In fact, from next week, I think we should bring physical Bibles. What do you think? James, you are not minding me. You don't agree with me. You are thinking about it. Remind me. Where's my son? Namiya, that's good. You raised your hand. All right, Caleb, so remind me to put my very big Bible in the car. All right. It's important. I've missed it. Maybe I'm titili. It's okay. What did I say I'm sharing with you today? All right, let's go. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 12. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them. And all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. You know, you can find Christ everywhere in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. Everything we read about in the Bible has a direct or indirect reference to Christ. So one of the things you should learn to do as a Christian is wherever in the Bible you read, ask yourself that what connection does it have to Christ Jesus? And you'll be amazed at the many powerful revelations that you will receive. Hallelujah. All right. Which verse have I? Verse 4. Yet, verse 5. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And I want you to take note of that. Yet God was not pleased with most of them. Most of who? Pardon? The Israelites, all right? Those who were taken out of bondage to the promised land. God was not happy with most of them. And their bodies were scattered in the wilderness, which means what? They died. Not a few of them. Most of them. Verse 6. These things happened for a reason, and the reason is being provided us as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. So they picked up some of the bad things from the neighbors around them and started practicing them. Eating, drinking, bowing to idols, you know, having sex with just anybody at all. It continues, and we must not engage. Who is on the projector? All right. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. How many died? That's a lot, isn't it? All right. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the angel of death. Why were they killed? Because they did what? Pardon? They grumbled. Because they grumbled, they were killed by the angel of death. I always like to emphasize that don't get to the place where you excuse certain things and begin to feel that eyonyehwe. So it's okay if I'm caught up in it, because you can easily get to that place. Human as we are, we have a way of categorizing sins, if you like. We have what we see as the very big ones, and then we have the ones that we feel can be excused. Always remind yourself that Romans 6:23 says what? For the wages of... Did it say for the wages of big sins? Did it say that? Yeah. It says for the wages of sin is death. Which means that bonibia aketia e di adie. That's what it means. So let's not get to that place where we feel that we can get away with this, we can get away with that. Because they grumbled, the angel of death was released amongst them and they were killed. So all of us have to really be careful. Understand this thing about sin, that, and I think you've heard me say it many times, it's not just the bad things that you do. It also has very much to do with the good things that you're supposed to do that you don't do. A lot of disobedience is sin. A lot of unbelief is sin. Anything that you do, particularly in relation to God, that is not out of faith, is sin. So do you realize that nobody should feel too comfortable? Yeah. Do you remember that small boy in the traffic who was begging you for money wearing Barcelona jersey? And you were bored with the little boy because he touched your car. May I remind you that your car is 40 years old. And you knocked the boy. You didn't give him money. And you knocked him. How old is the car again? So if you had a brand new car, you kill the boy. you kill the boy. Yeah. Now, you may not see it as anything. But when you know to do good and you don't do that good, the Bible says it is what? It is sin. Now, do you understand why I make us pray and confess our sins all the time? Yes. That's the reason why. Anyway. So they were killed because they grumbled. Now, verse 11 and 12. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Would you like to read the last verse together with me? Ready, go. Hallelujah. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. This is the word of the Lord to all of us. Let's read one more scripture. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 from the Good News Translation. Galatians 5 verse 1. Freedom is what we have. Lift up your hand and say, freedom.
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 And say, God bless you. All right. Those are the famous words of the first president of Ghana. The Bible says freedom is what we have because Christ has set us free. Then the next thing it says is that stand then as free people and do not allow yourselves to become slaves again. Did you see that? All right. So now let's get into the message. And can you please remind me of the title again? Don't get used to it. Don't accept it. All right. I can tell you something that I am very fascinated by the stories, by the experiences of the people of Israel, what I read about in the Bible. And the main reason why their stories fascinate me is because of what the Bible said in the earlier scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Let's take a look at it again. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. So what the Bible is trying to get us to understand that whatever the people of Israel went through, there are lessons in their experiences for all of us. There's so much to learn from what happened to them. Now, you must understand that now we are the people of God. You and I are the spiritual Israel. Once we were not, but we have been engrafted into the commonwealth of Israel. So now you and I are part of the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, the peculiar people. The people of Israel were called out of Egypt to the promised land. We also have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So there are a lot of similarities that can be drawn when we study their lives and what happened to them. And I'm explaining to you that the reason why I am so much interested in their story and in their experiences is because it teaches me a lot about this Christian walk. And like the Bible says, they were written down to warn us. So they serve as a kind of warning to us. Amen. Now, you cannot read about the nation of Israel in the Bible and not realize how much God loved them. He loved them and he chose them to be his own special people. After years of slavery in Egypt, they were in Egypt for 430 years. And it is believed that a little over 200 of those years were spent in slavery and in bondage. Now, when the period was over, God sent Moses. And Moses is a type of Christ as a deliverer to rescue his people from the land of slavery and bondage and take them to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. But you know, with everything that God did to deliver them, his miraculous provision for them, the divine guidance that they received, one would have thought that this would be a group of people who will be perpetually joyful. People who will confidently follow Moses. And people who will be assured that the power and the presence of God was with them. Because they saw the power of God at work. They experienced the presence of God. Right there in Egypt, the wonders that God did, they saw. They saw what happened to Pharaoh and the Egyptians because of their stubbornness to release the people of Israel. They saw when lies, again, came upon the whole land. Ejie, do they still exist? In the villages. Hey. Man has suffered before. And I don't know why it was so nice to us. When we sit down, our grandmother will get them out of our scalp and then she'll put it here and then do this. Now, nah, just was saying. And the sound of it made us very happy. Yeah. Egypa invaded the whole land. There were frogs. The frogs were Ayese mako on wana, mijina edye biya si ensiyo a topa na, ubiya kase, hey! Na unhunyina ayye o style CBC. I don't like the sound of frogs. Now, can you imagine that they were everywhere? In all the cooking utensils? in the bathroom, in the bedroom. I can imagine a husband lying there and feeling a wet kiss on his lips. Ah, wa so na no se oje mo. Obie ne no ba akoko hwee ya apotro ne kakraka. That's yak, isn't it? Yeah, they saw that. They saw when hailstones were rained upon the land. And the last thing that finally made Pharaoh decide to release them was when all the firstborn offsprings of humans and animals were killed. They saw, the people of Israel, they saw all of this. You see, they are not in a certain sense like us. There are many things that we haven't seen. Like physically. There are things that we have not handled. They saw something that has never happened again on this earth since their time. Where the Red Sea was parted in twain. And a highway appeared on the seabed with beautiful aquarium. Aquarium, no problem. Aquariums. Eh? Aquarius. That's like James. Aquarium on the left, aquarium on the right. You see all kinds of beautiful sea creatures. They saw mommy water. Eh? Hey, then, now hobby. Make us my engine too. Let this be your last time. All kinds. They saw as they walked in the middle of the seabed. They saw. Have you seen something like that before? They saw how the Egyptians made the mistake of following them. It's not everywhere that you go. It's not every road that you walk on. And that I don't know who advised them to follow. So a question they should have asked themselves, when who say apple? Have you seen some before? They asked themselves that, so how did it happen? And they should have reminded themselves of all the other plagues and the wonders that God did in. They didn't. They just stepped in. And they got to the middle, and then the sea closed up again. The question was, do I continue or do I retain? And the people of Israel saw. They felt the presence of God. They experienced the power of God throughout their journey. God led them by a pillar of cloud in the day. It was something they could see. There were times when they were enveloped by the cloud. That's why the Bible says that they were baptized in the clouds and in the sea. It enveloped them. They saw it. They must have felt it. In the evenings, whenever they had to travel, they were led by a pillar of fire. You see some before? I'm not talking about the usual mununkum. That's not what I'm talking about. This one is a special one that appears when it's time to travel. And then in the night, the cloud goes away and a pillar of fire comes. I say they saw, they experienced. They all ate of the manna. Pano dedel. Beautiful food that they had never eaten some before. When they were thirsty, they had water come out of the rock specially for them. What didn't they see? What didn't they experience? But amazingly, even though they had all these wonderful and amazing experiences, most of them did not make it. They did not make it to the promised land. In fact,
of the adults who were carried out of Egypt on the journey to the promised land, only two of the original team made it to the promised land. All the old people died. It's just their children who survived. Remember that they spent 40 years on that journey. So by that time, the children had grown. But all the old folks were overthrown in the wilderness. Even Moses didn't make it because of these same people. Because God asked him to speak to the rock and he struck it. And God said, "You have dishonored me. You have taken my glory away. Because by striking that rock, you have given the impression that you are the one who made the water come out. And I'll not share my glory with anybody. So your eyes will see the promised land. Your feet will not step there." And he struck the rock because he was bored with the people and the constant complaints and all of that. And that's another thing that they did. Always complaining, always grumbling, always murmuring, not believing. It was a constant feature throughout the journey. Why did all these things happen? Why is it that after seeing what they saw, after experiencing what they experienced, after all the encounters that they had, why did it not really affect them? All these things happened, and one of the reasons I can point to is that some things never changed for them in their minds and in their hearts. They got used to certain things, accepted those things, and they became a snare unto them. It's one of the reasons why they didn't make it. Some things never changed. Some things were never put away. Some things were never buried in the past. They went along with those things. And those things were the reason, or at least they formed part of the reason why they never made it. And remember what I said to you. Everything that happened to them is to serve as an example to all of us. To tell us that in this Christian journey and in this life that we are living and in the race that we are running, there are some things that we mustn't get used to. And there are some things that we must not accept. Because if we do, what happened to our predecessors, our ancestors in the wilderness, will happen to us also. Tell your neighbor again, don't get used to it. Don't accept it. When I was putting this sermon together, I came across some two psychological conditions. All right? One of them is called Stockholm Syndrome. Stockholm. Stockholm is the capital of Sweden. All right? Now, those of you who like football, that's where Haaland comes from. And that's where Ibrahimovic. Do you know Ibrahimovic? Yeah, that's where he comes from. So Stockholm is the capital of Sweden. So there's a psychological phenomenon called the Stockholm Syndrome. Now, this condition is a condition where hostages or victims of abuse begin to develop positive feelings and sympathy toward their captors or their abusers, even to the point where they even defend them. Yes. Now, this term, Stockholm Syndrome, was coined by psychologists who were puzzled by something that happened in Sweden in 1973. It was a bank robbery, and the robbers held quite a number of people hostage in the bank vault. The vault is where they keep the money and all of that. So they kept them in there.
Now, it was a six-day standoff. It was a six-day standoff. And what happened was that within the 6 days, the fear that the people had before had changed into something else. Now, they were sympathizing with their captors, the people who had held them hostage for these days. And they were now defending them, even after they had been released. In fact, one of the hostages decided to fund the legal fees of one of the kidnappers at the court. She decided to pay for it. So they were arrested, they were taken to court, and she funded the legal fees. It was this situation that psychologists analyzed and came up with that term, Stockholm Syndrome. So it's a situation where people got used to something that they shouldn't get to. If you are kidnapped, if you were the one to be kidnapped, how would you feel? I mean, can you imagine that now you are sympathizing with the one who kidnapped you, the one who is holding you hostage, and you are saying that, let them go, they've not done anything wrong. It felt normal to them. That's the first condition, Stockholm Syndrome. Then there's another psychological condition that I came across. It's called learned helplessness. Learned helplessness. So what is that one? So it's also a psychological condition where a person who has repeatedly been exposed to negative or painful experiences comes to believe that they don't have any control over the situation. Even when there are opportunities for change or escape available. So they've been through bad experiences. They've been through painful conditions. And they've come to accept it. That this is how it's going to be. And the strange thing about it is that there is an opportunity to escape. There is an opportunity for change. There is an opportunity for things to get better. But they don't take it. They don't receive it. They can't even see it. So as a result of that, they stop trying to improve things. And they accept suffering as normal. It's called learned helplessness. You have learned how to be helpless. The summary of these two conditions is accepting things that you shouldn't accept, and getting used to things that you shouldn't get used to. And it's something that we need to watch against. Because that is what happened to the people of Israel. And that's why they went through a lot of the difficult experiences that they had. Somebody visited a circus and saw a huge elephant tied to a little pig. Huge. Some very tiny rope. And the peg was very little. And it was obvious that this elephant can break away and go. So then the person asked the elephant's trainer, because the circus is a place where animals are taught to do all kinds of tricks, and people go and watch and they pay a lot of money. So lions are trained to jump through hoops of fire. Elephant is made to do all kinds of things. So the person asked the trainer that, but this big elephant, why is it confined there? And the trainer explained that when it was a baby, it was this same rope that was used to tie it down to this same stick. And at that time, it couldn't break loose. But it didn't realize that as it was growing and becoming bigger and becoming stronger, it could easily just break away and go with very little effort. So what's happened to the elephant? Yes. It has learned to be helpless. It has become used to captivity. It has accepted that I can't go. I can't go anywhere beyond this point. That is it. This is how it's going to be. This is how my life is going to be. And that's what happened to the people of Israel. Let me just show you from the Bible account. Are you learning something today?
Yeah.
All right. Exodus chapter 14, verse 5 to 12. Exodus 14, verse 5 to 12. When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds because he had said that you can go. But now when they realized that the people had gone, it means that all their workers and laborers were gone. They said, what have we done? Letting all those Israelite slaves get away, they asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with its commander. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So he chased after the people of Israel who had left with fists raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's armies. With all the forces, not just a few, all the forces, all his horses and chariots, his charioteers and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near Pihahiroth, across from Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord. And then this is what they said to Moses. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? Then look at the next question that they ask. What have you done to us? Now, I'm talking about people who were in bondage, who were in captivity, who were set free. And it was obvious that it was not by a human hand or power that they were set free. It was clear. Now, they are asking the deliverer that God sent that, what have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. And then the last statement they made, it is better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Now, look at Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. Because if you just look at what I read, you can easily think that somebody forced them out of slavery into freedom. So in Exodus 2, 23 to 25, the Bible says, years passed and the king of Egypt died. But the Israelites continued to groan under their burden of slavery. They were crying. They were sad. They were sorrowful. Then look at what they did. They cried out for help. And their cry rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time to act. What am I trying to get you to see? You see, when they started complaining against Moses, when they saw the armies of Pharaoh of Egypt coming, the things they said sounded like we were sitting out somewhere and you came to take us from where we were. But this scripture that I read is pointing out that They knew that the situation they were in was very, very bad. And they were the ones who cried out to God to save them and to rescue them. And now it's like they had completely lost sight of what God did to get them out of Egypt on that journey to the promised land. So you see, what had happened to them was that they became used to bondage and to slavery. They became so used to it that it felt normal. They got used to it. They accepted it. So even though God did so much to rescue them, something hadn't changed here. They still had a slave mentality. They still had a captivity bondage mindset. Look at another thing that happened to them. Numbers 13 verse 27 to Numbers 14 verse 4. Numbers 13 verse 27 to Numbers 14 verse 4. This was after the 12 spies had come back with their report. You know how they were on the verge of getting to the promised land? And Moses sent spies to spy out the land for them. The Bible says this was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites lived in the Negev, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once to take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." What Caleb was explaining to the people, he didn't say so in so many words, but he was trying to point out to them that, after everything that God has done for us to bring us to this point, you think that these fianga people that you see, omo wakeko, but before the Lord our God, who rescued us with his great power and his outstretched arm from Egypt, the land of bondage, we saw what he did to that formidable Egyptian army. In one day, within a matter of a few hours or minutes, Egypt did not have an army. And Egypt was the superpower at the time. And God did all these things, led us through, provided for us and everything. Is it these people that you are seeing, are they the reason why we can't make it? He said that, stop what you are saying. There were 12 spies, only two. Only two seemed to have a certain change of mind. Only two believed God and refused to allow certain things that they've been through to affect their minds and to affect their hearts. They said, "We can overcome." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't, oh, we can't. We can't. We can't go up against them, oh. They are stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we travel through and explore will devour anyone who goes to live there, as in a minimum. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers." And that's what they thought too. So we saw ourselves as grasshoppers. And the people also saw us as grasshoppers. How do you know? How do you know? There's a certain mindset of captivity and bondage that makes you imagine all kinds of weird things. There are some things that when you get used to, and there are some things that when you accept, they just incapacitate you. You can't. You can't progress. You can't advance. You are limited. You are restrained. You are hindered in life. And the tragedy of that is there's something great waiting for you out there. But because of something that you got used to. Look at what happened then. Then the whole community began weeping aloud and they cried all night. So this was not all night prayer. It was all night crying. So can you imagine? The all night started at 10. 10, 4 a.m. So all night crying. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. Then look at what they said. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, complained. And to make matters worse, they brought God into it. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? So now they are accusing God of having murderous intentions. The God who came to save them. The God who did all those wonders just to take them out of bondage and captivity. Remember that I showed you a scripture where they groaned and they cried out to the Lord for help. When you shout and say, Obin Jimio, Obin Mro, Nipam Mro, and then the person comes to save you, now you are saying that, why did you come to save me? Does it not smack of madness? That's what they said. He said, our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Let's go back. Let's go back to what? Slavery. The slavery you were rescued from. The slavery for which reason you cried out to God, help us, save us. Let's go back to it. Then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Clearly, you are looking at people who had become used to bondage and abuse. Because it wasn't easy for them. They were slaves. They were slaves. That's what they were. They were in bondage. They were being ill-treated. They were being whipped. That's what God saved them from. And the way God saved them, it was clear that God was going to do something great with their lives. But then, when the challenges came, when the trials came, they forgot it completely. And now they started accusing the God who saved them that he's out to kill them and destroy them. That's what happens when you become used to bondage and to captivity. I'm going to show you other things that happened with the people of Israel. Then as part of this teaching, I'm also going to show you the things in our lives as modern contemporary Christians and the people of God, the things in our life that we must not get used to, that we must not accept, lest what happened to the people of Israel will begin to happen to us. Because God had a beautiful plan for them. He was taking them to a beautiful land, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. He didn't have any bad intention for them. But most of them died in the wilderness. And one of the reasons why this happened was that they got used to things that they shouldn't get used to. And they accepted things that they shouldn't accept. I believe that this is a message that will deliver us from certain things that we shouldn't get used to. And it's my belief and my faith and my trust that after we run through this series, every one of us will begin to rise up and identify specific things in our lives that we shouldn't get used to anymore. To decide that it's enough of this nonsense. Say to yourself that this nonsense must stop. Tell yourself that this is not my future. This is not my destiny. God did not save me to be going through these things for the rest of my life. And through this message, we will break out of anything in our lives that we have gotten used to, that we shouldn't have gotten used to, that we have accepted, that we shouldn't accept. We will continue next week by the grace of God. Rise to your feet and put your hands together for Jesus, and let's end this. Every head bowed, please, and every eye closed. This morning, I want to pray with you. And for me, what is of great concern to me is your spiritual state, your relationship with Jesus. Moses was a type of Jesus. God sent him to deliver us. But he's not going to force himself on anybody. You have to willingly and gladly choose Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior. And this morning, I'm giving you an opportunity to do just that. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to say, Pastor, can you please pray with me? I want to give my heart to Jesus. Somehow, when you were preaching, I just felt God touching my heart. And I realized that there's a major difference that God wants to make in my life. And I want to accept his offer. Can you please pray with me? I want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Yes, yes, yes. I can pray with you. And even for those of you watching me online, you are not physically present here, but I assure you that God can see you where you are and is interested in you as well. Right where you are, you can receive Jesus into your heart and your life will never be the same. But if you're physically present here, as every head is bowed, every eye closed, I want to say, I want to give my heart to Jesus. Wherever you are standing, I want you to lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you right now. God bless you. Lift it up very clearly so that I can see. Don't hesitate. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands, my friends. I see your hands. God bless you. Many years ago, I also went to church and did exactly what you are doing today. And since that time, my life has never been the same again. God bless you. I see your hands. Now, stay right where you are, and we are just going to pray. And I want all of us to join in this prayer, including those of you watching us who have realized that you need Jesus and you want to give him a chance in your life. Now, can we all pray this prayer together and say, Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I open my heart to Jesus and I receive him as my Lord, my Savior, my Deliverer, my Friend, my Master, my everything. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. Today, 22nd June, 2025, I am saved. I am saved. I am a child of God. I am born again. I believe it and I accept this free gift of salvation. In Jesus' mighty name have I prayed. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for Jesus, everyone. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.